Upland Bible Church, Pastor Richard J. Olson, 920 Upland Boulevard, Las Vegas, Nevada, 89107. Sunday, first class, November 17, 2024, Romans.
Man shall not live by bread alone, but by every word that proceeds from the mouth of God. Faith comes by hearing, and hearing through the teaching of God's word. And therefore, open the word of God this morning to Romans chapter 8. Romans chapter 8, this great chapter that the spotlight is placed on God the Holy Spirit, the third person of the Trinity, and his phenomenal ministry to us in this unique dispensation of the church age. In preparation to worship our Lord, a few moments of silent prayer, shall we? Father, we thank you, sir, for your infinite and your matchless grace. And we thank you for the privilege that we have this morning of assembling in freedom to fellowship with you through the study of your word. And as we do so, we ask that our teacher, God the Holy Spirit, will set apart the absolute truth of Scripture to the nourishment and to the benefit of each one of our souls. We pray these things in Jesus Christ's name. Amen. I have an update from Jim Myers, James, his ministry. It's the James F. Myers Ministry, sharing the Word of God with the people of Ukraine. As we approach the end of another year, I have been thinking of the plan of God and His marvelous grace for those who are in it. The year has been rife with disasters, warfare, political madness, growing anti-Semitism, invasion of illegals into the country, and economic uncertainty. But in the midst of it all, there is that wonderful inner peace that comes from knowing that our sovereign God is in control, that everything is moving toward the culmination of His plan. It is a marvelous time to be alive. Many people look at their circumstances and despair. But we who believe the Word of God should not be despondent, for God has promised to supply all our needs according to His riches in glory by Christ Jesus. God has not called us to comfort and ease, to success and prosperity. He has called us to be faithful to Him. We are here to fulfill His purposes, not our own. Whatever God has called us to do, what is required is faithfulness. Reviewing this past year has been humbling as we consider all the grace that has been given to us. Having traveled to 6 different countries to proclaim the gospel and to teach the word of God. We were able to spend some time in the war-torn country of Ukraine, where we rejoiced to see people we trained for ministry faithfully presenting a free grace gospel and teaching sound doctrine, even under extreme adverse conditions. We also went into Poland and Romania to teach in churches hungry for the word. As we have done for many years, we also did many hours of teaching in Zambia and Brazil. In addition, we went to Tahiti, where we joined Mark and Renee Perkins for a few weeks of teaching. People seem to have the idea that Tahiti is a tropical paradise and that doing ministry there would be like working in the Garden of Eden. I assure you that such is not the case. Not the case. It is a small island with mixture of indigenous Tahitians and French, and the number of evangelical Christians is very small. Most of the indigenous people are still steeped in their animistic religion. Cults from America are proliferating, and Catholicism is also strong. The Perkins are working intently to establish a grace gospel and sound Bible teaching there. While in the United States, we have also been able to do a lot of teaching in several churches around Texas and in a few other states. Our desire is to be able to return to Ukraine. But apparently the Lord has other plans for us at the present time, and He has given us many opportunities to teach in other places. Our calendar is already full through June of next year. The Lord has blessed us so greatly, and it is our privilege to serve Him. We are most thankful for the mental and physical health we enjoy, making it possible for us to maintain this very active schedule. And we are grateful for all of you who have a part in this ministry through your intercessory prayers and your support. Sola gratia. By grace alone. Jim Myers. Romans chapter 8. An entire chapter that has the spotlight on God the Holy Spirit, the third person of the Trinity, and the unique ministry that He has to us, royal family of God, in this very unique and wonderful dispensation, the church age. Began at Pentecost, concludes with the rapture. So we have the spotlight on God the Holy Spirit. We've exegeted the first 4 verses, and it sounds like this in corrected translation. Therefore, verse 1, now there is no judgment for the ones who are in Christ Jesus. in union with Christ as a result of the baptism of the Spirit. Verse 2, because the principle of the Spirit of life in Christ Jesus has set you free from the principle of the sin nature and spiritual death. Verse 3, for what was impossible for the Mosaic law, because it was weak because of the flesh, the sin nature, God the Father, accomplished by sending his own Son. That's the first advent, the incarnation and virgin birth of the eternal Son of God on that very first Christmas, the greatest miracle that this world will ever know. In the likeness of sinful flesh, he took on true humanity. Now he is the God-man, undiminished deity and true humanity united in one person forever, his hypostatic union. And to atone for sin, unlimited atonement, he paid for the sins of the whole world by his work on the cross. He, God the Father, judged sin, the sins of the world, in the flesh, in the body of the Lord Jesus Christ on the cross. Verse 4, for the purpose that the righteous requirement demanded by the Mosaic law might be fulfilled in us, the ones who do not walk or live according to the sin nature, but who walk and live according to the Spirit, God the Holy Spirit, the filling of the Spirit. And we had been studying in great detail the doctrine of the filling of the Spirit. Now we go on. Romans 8, 5 through 8, we have the conflict of being controlled by the sin nature with being controlled by God the Holy Spirit. There's a war going on inside of each one of us. We have the sin nature is in our body, and at the moment we believed in Christ as our Savior, God the Holy Spirit indwelt our body. Now there's a war going on. Who's going to control your soul? Who's going to be the one that's the power for your life? Is it going to be the sin nature, or is it going to be God the Holy Spirit? And that war is going on in each one of us. Now it's described here in Romans 8, 5 through 8. And this war is a mental conflict. Verse 5, we always start with the King James Version. And it says the first line, for men that are after the flesh do mind the things of the flesh. This is the postpositive conjunction gar plus the articular present active participle of the to be verb eimi plus the prepositional phrase kata plus the accusative singular of sarx plus the present active indicative of phroneo plus the accusative neuter plural of the definite article ta plus the genitive singular of sarx with the definite article. Well, we start out with the post-positive conjunction gar. G-A-R. Now, gar is an explanatory gar, and it is correctly translated for. And then we have the articular participle of eimi, and those of you who are faithful and consistent and being here, and we have classes Tuesday, Wednesday, Thursday, twice on Sunday, and you learned over time that when you hear articular participle, it is a substantival participle, and that means it's used as a noun. And that's how it's used here. This is a substantival participle, and it's correctly translated for the ones who are, or for those who are. And Arndt and Gingrich, the Greek lexicon, page 224, tells us that when the to be verb eimi is used with the preposition kata, as it is in our verse, It means to live in accordance with, or to live according to. And then we have sarx, and that's the word for the sin nature. So the corrected translation, for those believers who live according to the sin nature. That's how it starts out. For those believers who live according to the sin nature. And then we have the verb phroneo. Looks like that in the Greek, that's P-H-R-O-N-E, long O, phroneo. Now, phroneo means to think. It means to form or hold an opinion. And then it came to mean to set one's mind on something, to be intent on something. Now, the present tense is important here. The present tense is, we call linear action sort. You would graph it like that. And therefore, you translate it, keep on thinking about, keep on having their mind set on something, keep on setting their minds on. And what do they keep on thinking about? Ta, tes, sarkoth, the things of the sin nature, on the things that the sin nature lusts for. So, corrected translation, for those believers who live according to the sin nature, and when you do that, you're out of fellowship with God, you have no filling of the Spirit, you have no spiritual life, you are making bad decisions, and you're operating by the lust patterns of the sin nature, you're in Satan's cosmic system, and you wind up making yourself a disciple of the devil. For those believers who live according to the sin nature, keep on setting their minds on the things of the sin nature. That is what the sin nature lusts for. Then we have a conjunction of contrast. Now the contrast. But they that are after the Spirit, the things of the Spirit. So we have the post-positive conjunction de plus the articular present active participle of eimi, again, repeated, plus the preposition kata, repeated, but this time with pneuma, not sarx, not the sin nature, but the Spirit. And the verb phroneo has been left out by ellipsis, but it is to be implied in the translation. The accusative neuter plural of the definite article ta, plus the genitive singular pneuma with the definite article. The conjunction, post-positive conjunction de. D-E. It's a conjunction of contrast, correctly translated, but. And it sets up a contrast between, and I want you to get these down, several things here. First of all, it sets up a contrast between the believer living according to the sin nature with the believer living according to the Holy Spirit, the filling of the Spirit. So that's the first contrast here. It's setting up a contrast between the believer living according to the sin nature with the believer living according to the Holy Spirit. That's the filling of the Spirit. It sets up a contrast between number two. It sets up a contrast between the thinking of the believer controlled by the sin nature with the thinking of the believer controlled by God, the Holy Spirit, the filling of the Spirit. Totally different. Both of these are believers in Jesus Christ. They both place their faith in Christ. They have eternal security. They have the gift of eternal life. They have God's imputed righteousness. They're going to live with God forever in heaven. But while we're here on earth, after salvation, what? After salvation, are you living in fellowship with God, filled with the Spirit? Or are you living out of fellowship with God in Satan's cosmic system? You got a war going on. Unfortunately, today in America, if we look around, many, many Christians are losing the war. And their thinking is the thinking of the sin nature. Their thinking is the thinking of the cosmic system. Not the thinking of the grace and truth of the Word of God. When you are in fellowship with God, your thinking is the thinking of the grace and truth of the God-breathed Scriptures. So, secondly, it sets up a contrast between the thinking of the believer controlled by the sin nature with the thinking of the believer controlled by God, the Holy Spirit, the filling of the Spirit. We continue on. Three, death sets up a contrast between two antithetical systems of thought. Sets up a contrast between two antithetical systems of thought. Four, it sets up a contrast between the lust patterns of the sin nature with the fruit of the Spirit. It sets up a contrast between the lust patterns of the sin nature with the fruit of the Spirit. When you're in fellowship with God, filled with the Spirit, the fruit of the Spirit is love, joy, peace, patience, kindness, generosity, fidelity, tolerance, and self-control. That's the believer in fellowship with God. That's the believer living the Spirit-filled life, the filling of the Spirit, empowered by God the Holy Spirit in his life. Five, it sets up a contrast between Satan's cosmic system with its interlocking systems of arrogance, cosmic one, and interlocking systems of hatred, cosmic two, with the spiritual life that God has for us in the church age, and virtue love. Virtue love. That's the ultimate objective of living by the power of the Spirit, God the Holy Spirit, to live the spiritual life, is to attain spiritual maturity, have virtue love brought to completion in your heart. And what is virtue love when it's brought to completion in your heart? Well, it's phenomenal. Virtue love is made up of three parts. First of all, personal love for God the Father. Personal love for God the Father, that's the great motivational virtue that motivates the second part of virtue love, which is impersonal love for all mankind. All mankind. And then third, occupation with Jesus Christ. Occupation with Christ. Jesus Christ makes himself at home in your heart. When you're living by the Spirit-filled life, and you grow up in the grace and knowledge of Jesus Christ, Jesus Christ makes himself at home in your heart. And that's the best of the best. How great is that? The living and true God makes himself at home in your heart. And you have that fellowship with him moment by moment, day by day. He's in your heart. I view it as me and the Lord sitting in our easy chairs in my heart. There's a fireplace in my soul too. And the fireplace is going and we're sitting there with the fireplace and we're having great, great time talking to each other. It's the greatest of all. No matter what's going on in the world, no matter what's going on in America, no matter what's going on in Las Vegas, you have this moment by moment fantastic fellowship with the King of Kings and the Lord of Lords, Jesus Christ. And on the other side of the coin of occupation with Christ is sharing the happiness of God. You have self-contained happiness. No matter what's going on in your life, no matter what circumstances you have in your life, no matter whether you're in prosperity or adversity, good health or suffering from illness of some type, makes no difference. You have self-contained happiness. And your happiness doesn't depend on whether your football team wins or loses. Now, most of you know I went to Washington State University, and I always stand up here every year and say it's going to be Washington State and UNLV playing for the national championship. Never is, but anyway, I say that. Well, Washington State went to New Mexico. They had only one loss. Went to New Mexico and lost to some Lobos. Lobos, my God. Well, they're... It won't be UNLV and Washington State. They're kaput. Now, I have nothing against New Mexico. Andy Todd was a pastor in New Mexico in Albuquerque, and I love that guy. You talk about a great communicator of the Word of God. That was Andy Todd. He taught grace and truth, grace and truth, grace and truth. And we were not only pastor buddies, but we were hunting buddies. And we had many wonderful hunting trips. And the other thing I like about New Mexico are the Hatch green chilies. Now those, Hatch green chilies, that's fantastic. And in fact, we had yesterday sausage, Hatch chilies. Sausages. So there's some good things in New Mexico. But they didn't have to beat the Cougars, you know. They thought they did. But if your happiness depends on football, you're in trouble. Now, I don't know. Some people, Oregon. Oh, my God. Whew. Almost lost to Wisconsin. They beat them by 3 points. They're still number one. Yeah. All of that, by the way, no extra charge for any of that. So this sets up a contrast between the lust patterns of the sin nature with the fruit of the Spirit. 5, it sets up a contrast between Satan's cosmic system with its interlocking systems of arrogance and interlocking systems of hatred with God's unique spiritual life he has for us in the church age and virtue love brought to completion in our heart. And 6, it sets up a contrast between human viewpoint garbage with divine viewpoint of the God-breathed scriptures. So that contrast, that conjunction of contrast, death, very important. And then we have hoi kata pneuma with ta tu pneumatas. Hoi kata pneuma is but those believers who live according to the Spirit. But those believers who live according to the Spirit, the filling of the Spirit, ta tu pneumatas, they keep on setting their minds on the things of the Spirit, the God-breathed scriptures. So hoi, this is a fantastic phrase, hoi kata pneuma, those believers who live according to the Spirit, the filling of the Spirit, ta tu pneumatas, they keep on setting their minds on the things of the Spirit, the God-breathed Scripture. So, corrected translation now of this great verse, verse 5, Romans 8, 5. For those believers who live according to the sin nature keep on setting their minds on the things of the sin nature, that is, what the sin nature lusts for. But those believers who live according to the Spirit-filled life, they keep on setting their minds on the things of the Spirit, the God-breathed Scriptures. All right, this is a great verse. Now let's pull it together a little bit. One, there is a great battle going on in the soul of the believer. Now, Romans, the Apostle Paul in Romans chapter 8 is going into it, defining it, explaining it, illustrating it. This is a phenomenal chapter. He's going to summarize it in the book of Galatians. In the book of Galatians, he summarized it. Turn over to Galatians 5. Galatians 5, he summarizes what he is teaching in this fantastic chapter. Galatians 5, verse 16, but I declare, walk by the Spirit. Live your life by the agency of the Spirit, and you will not carry out the lust patterns of the sin nature. For the sin nature sets its desire against the Spirit, and the Spirit against the sin nature. For these are at war with one another, so that you may not do the things that you wish. There's a war going on. So he summarizes it in Galatians 5, 16, and 17, but he explains it, illustrates it in Romans chapter 8. So there is a great battle, a great war going on inside of each one of us. Two, this is a great mental conflict. Who is going to control your life? Who's going to control your soul? Are you going to function under the authority of the sin nature, or are you going to function under the authority of God the Holy Spirit? Three, as a church-age believer, your soul is either under the control and domination of the sin nature with its lust patterns, or under the control and authority of God the Holy Spirit through the filling of the Spirit. So we live, this never occurred in other periods of human history. This is unique in our dispensation, the church age. This is the only dispensation where we have the universal indwelling of God the Holy Spirit as the base of operation for the filling of the Spirit. This is the only dispensation where we have the unique spiritual life. And God gave us this because we're in the intensified stage of the angelic conflict. Satan used to attack when he... In the Old Testament, he attacked the line of Christ all the way through. And then with the incarnation and virgin birth, he attacked Jesus Christ himself. But following Jesus Christ's death, burial, resurrection, ascension, and session, now he's seated at the right hand of God the Father. Now the attack is on the body of Christ. We are the body of Christ. Now the attack is on every single one of us. And therefore, God provided everything we would need, this fantastic spiritual life that is a supernatural way of life and demands supernatural power for its execution. That supernatural power is the power of the Spirit of God and the power of the Word of God in your heart. We live in a great time. To whom much is given, much is expected. Point four. When the sin nature controls your soul, you think sin, human good, evil, arrogance, interlocking systems of arrogance, hatred, antagonism, interlocking systems of hatred, and lust from the lust patterns of the sin nature. So when the sin nature controls your soul, you think sin, human good, evil, arrogance, hatred, lust from the lust patterns of the sin nature. Five. Sometimes I get in a hurry and I kind of watch to see how you're doing down there. Some of you are fast at getting these points down. Some of you are like molasses, but anyway. The sin nature dominates the believer through, first of all, rejecting God's grace provision of rebound. God has given us, in many ways, one of the most important problem-solving devices, and that's rebound. When the Lord Jesus Christ went to the cross, all the sins of the world were gathered up and poured out on the Lord Jesus Christ. And these sins include all the sins you commit as an unbeliever and all the sins you commit as a believer. All of them were poured out on Christ and judged in Jesus Christ once and for all. And therefore, the only issue for eternal salvation for the unbeliever is faith in Jesus Christ. Faith alone in Christ alone, apart from any and all works. And the only issue for the believer getting back into fellowship with God is rebound, acknowledging your 1 John 1:9. Oh boy, that made a mess there. If we acknowledge our sins to God, He, God, is faithful and just to forgive us our sins and cleanse us from all unrighteousness. Why? Because all those sins you commit after salvation as a believer, Jesus Christ paid the penalty for all those. All of them. Once and for all. So the only issue to get back into fellowship is just simply acknowledge your sins to God. So not only did He pay the penalty for all the sins of all the unbelievers when you were an unbeliever, but also all the sins you commit as a believer. So God gave us the problem-solving device of rebound. And point five was the sin nature dominates the believer through the rejection of rebound. There's a lot of people that just reject it, and also by being negative. Negative toward God, negative toward the Word of God, negative volition to Bible doctrine. Point six, God in His matchless grace gave us the problem-solving device of rebound. 1 John 1:9. If we acknowledge our sins to God, He, God, is faithful and just to forgive us our sins and to cleanse us from all unrighteousness. Instantly you're restored to fellowship with God, the filling of the Spirit, and you're back in your spiritual life. So, seven. However, the longer you live your life under the control and domination of the sin nature, The sooner you will wind up in reversionism, the longer you live your life under the control and domination of the sin nature, the sooner you will wind up in reversionism. And in Hebrews chapter 12, first of all, I want you all, you ought to know that God loves every one of you with infinite virtue love. He loves us all with infinite virtue love. And when you get out of fellowship with God, when you get into Satan's cosmic system, and then you stay there, you make bad decision after bad decision after bad decision, well, God's going to spank you. What motivates God spanking you? Love. Virtue love. Those whom the Lord loves, He disciplines. And that discipline, why does He do it? He doesn't want to see you crash and burn. He wants to bless you. He wants to bless all of us. But when you are making bad decisions, bad decisions, bad decisions, living in Satan's cosmic system, you're heading toward the cliff. You're going to crash and burn. God doesn't want to see you do that. So, because He loves you, He brings into your life warning discipline. Warning. He spanks you. And a lot of times that's all it takes. And you wake up, come to your senses, acknowledge your sins to God, and get back into fellowship with God. Sometimes you don't. Sometimes you continue on making bad decisions. Then it goes to intensive discipline. And hopefully at that point, many times this is all, at that point you come to your senses and wake up and rebound, get back into fellowship with God and start living the spiritual life. But there are those that don't even listen, don't come to their senses there. And then it comes to dying discipline. Dying discipline. And there have been believers that have gone all the way to this part, the incestuous Corinthian. And he was on his way out, the sin unto death. And he came to his senses. He rebounded. He got back into fellowship with God. And he came to his senses and said, "This is crazy. That's going to stop now. That's over. Incest is over." Now, there's other sins I might get involved in, but not then. We're not going that way. We don't ever stop sinning. But when, you know, as you grow up in the grace and knowledge of Jesus Christ, when you get out of fellowship with God, you recover as quickly as possible. As quickly as possible. Now, I've told you about this, one of the families in Pullman, Washington, Washington State University. I love this family. Dale was one of the deacons at Bethany Bible Church. Ellen was just a phenomenal, gracious, generous lady. And they would get together with a couple other Christian friends, and they'd play cards, but they played to kill cards. They put their 45 out on the table. And Ellen says, "When we're playing and I sin, I get mad, and I'm not going to rebound till it's all over. Till I go home." I don't suggest you do that. Get as quickly as possible, come to your senses, acknowledge your sin, get back into fellowship, and get moving, get going again in the spiritual life. So the longer you live your life under the control and domination of the sin nature, the sooner you will wind up in reversionism. 8, the Holy Spirit dominates the believer's soul life by the filling of the Spirit. God the Holy Spirit is the supernatural power to live the spiritual life of the church age. So the Holy Spirit dominates the believer's soul by the filling of the Spirit, which is the supernatural power to live the spiritual life of the church age. 9. Attitude toward God and the Word of God is the basis for the contrast in our verse, Romans 8:5. Thinking about the things of the sin nature and thinking about the things of the Spirit. So attitude toward God and the Word of God is the basis for the contrast in our verse, Romans 8:5, thinking about the things of the sin nature with thinking about the things of the Spirit. 10. The thinking of the believer pleases God when the believer is filled with the Spirit, thinking about the grace and truth of the Word of God. The thinking of the believer pleases God. Your life pleases God when the believer is filled with the Spirit, thinking about the grace and truth of the Word of God. When you have the thinking of Christ, and what is the thinking of Christ? The Word of God. 1 Corinthians 2:16, the mind of Christ. The Word of God is the mind of Christ. We are studying the mind of Christ. This is the thinking of Jesus Christ. And the plan of God is for you to get the thinking of Christ into your heart. So you are thinking the same thing as the thinking of Jesus Christ, the Word of God. So when you have the thinking of Christ, the Word of God in your heart, then you will please God. Your life pleases God. And that's another of the purposes of being here, to please God. All right, we're going to take a break. Take a break, let you go out, and I think they got some fantastic munchies out there. And if you get too hot in here, go outside and cool down. And we'll be back for part two in a few.